Talk Radio.
Exciting times right now in Atlanta sports history. So many of our teams are active all at the same time. The Dream, of course, their season has started. Of course, Atlanta United, Atlanta Falcons training camp has started. We'll get into that a little bit later. The Braves are back, hitting the ball all over the place now. And, of course, the NBA playoffs has started. 646-652-4479. So the Atlanta Hawks are in the NBA playoffs. The Atlanta Hawks beat the New York Knicks Sunday to grab home court advantage. The media has had to backtrack a little bit from their overwhelming support for a team that has missed the playoffs 13 of the past 20 years. Trae Young had a tremendous first playoff game, had a game-winning shot. The team played great defense. He had several players hit clutch shots. But tomorrow is game two, so what can we expect? Secondly, Julio Jones looked like he is indeed not going to be a Falcon too much longer. But how did we initially hear about it? We all know the story. And Shannon Sharp, I don't know, did he even do a show today? Against all protocol, put Julio on the telephone during a live show. Private is private for a reason. I feel it's professional what Shannon Sharp did. That's my opinion. But we'll get to talk about that. But now that that's happened, you know, what is going to happen with Julio? Where is he going to go? You know, Julio asked for a trade despite the fact that he got the contract that he wanted. He's been having one of the greatest performances in NFL history as far as a quarterback to receiver ratio. Knowing that our defense has not been that great, knowing our coaching has just been basically trash. And my question is, why wouldn't he want to play the 1 year with Ridley, with all these new guys, the new system, new atmosphere, just to see how things turn out? But we'll see. Falcons already have said that they're going to work for the best deal. He's under contract till 2023, so we'll see. 666-524-479 is the number, of course. Before we get started, before I introduce co-hosts, we want to give a shout-out to a couple of our Facebook friends. Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, We Are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA. Football season is coming soon. New Pack City, which I'm doing a Facebook Live on that page right now. Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves. Fan Group, Tomahawk Talk, Atlanta FC, and Atlanta Dream. So that being said, oh, by the way, make sure you go to the Originative Brands Instagram page. Jamal actually was on the show the other day. If you need anything graphics-wise, whether it be logos, whether it be printed objects as far as clothes or tools, anything, make sure you hit them up. Make sure you let them know Around the ATL sent you. So that being said, I'm going to introduce our co-host. He's newly a writer for Dogcast.com, former writer of Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, and a current contributor for ATL All Day via FanSided. He is Jordan Jackson. What's going on, Jordan?
What's up, Chris? Oh, man. Certainly an extremely exciting time in Atlanta sports, man. You know, certainly a lot of things, you know, that we could talk about. You know, my main focus is on these Atlanta Hawks, sir, and the fantastic performance that they had in game one, and the fact that they could be even better in game two. You know, and one of the things that we talked about is the lack of national recognition with the Hawks, as you mentioned at the top of the show. And I tell you what, they're certainly getting some national recognition now, you know, for various reasons that we'll get into. I want to give a shout-out to all the people on Hawks Twitter, all the Atlanta sports fans, Falcons Twitter, Braves Twitter, Atlanta United Twitter, Atlanta Dream Twitter, all those people out there. Also, the people that I interact with on Bleacher Report. Certainly appreciate all you guys that are listening. I want to give a shout-out to the legendary Steve Holman and the great Bob Rathman, who we had on our show on Thursday, two different shows that we did on Thursday. And certainly always appreciate their insight and love the calls. I couldn't help it but flip back and forth between Bob and Steve as far as listening to the game the other night because I just wanted to hear the excitement and what both of them had to say. So I was definitely torn there. But that being said, sir, certainly looking forward to talking about it, so let's get to it.
All right, so with all being said, and Jordan kind of alluded to it, you know, recognition is a big deal for anybody. Trae Young even mentioned it earlier, well, a few weeks ago, actually, in regards to the lack of recognition, in regards to what they have done the second half of the season, his personal accomplishments, the accomplishments of some of his teammates. And again, you look at the even just now with Julius getting the most improved, and I believe Clint got 1 second vote, So this is those certain things. Well, wait a minute. Well, how can he not be a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year and he leads the league in rebounds? And then, well, not even for most improved, he can't even, it's just strange. And, of course, with Trae not getting to the All-Star game in his own city, which is the snub of all snubs as far as I'm concerned, where he led his team into the playoffs, of course, and hit a game-winning shot in the playoffs on the road in the Mecca of basketball. It's just strange right now. But let's talk about the game itself. And going into it, of course, there was the hoopla of picks. They finished fourth. They had home court advantage. But as I continue to mention, I'm not understanding all of the fanfare for a team that has not been in the playoffs for 13 years out of 20. In the last 20 years. That's 10 years times two. They haven't even been in the playoffs at all to be competitive, but now they're like the team to beat in the Eastern Conference somehow. So it was just interesting. It's been interesting to see that dynamic, but of course the Twitter wars and Facebook wars between Hawks and Knicks fans is fun, of course, and it's refreshing because, again, we hadn't been able to do it ourselves for 3 years, not 8 years, of course, like the Knicks, but I'll give you first crack at it, Jordan. What was your – well, let's say this first. Everybody was standing up, of course, the last 9 seconds of the game. Everybody, wherever they were at, whether they were at State Farm Arena where we were able to have some fans or whether you were at home or whether you were at the bar, everybody was standing up. Me, myself, I knew we were going to win the game. Just didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know there was going to be 6 players on the floor. Somehow because John lost his shoe, so his shoe played a part in the screen there. I don't know how that works, but, But at the end of the day, Trae drove, he hit his floater, it went in, and Spike Lee and Tracy Morgan and John Stewart and everybody else there in New York town had to be real sad. But what was your initial reaction of the game? What was some of your highlights as far as points to pay attention to going into tomorrow's game? But just how did you feel about the win itself?
Oh man, it was the most excitement that I've had watching a sporting event for a while, for at least a few years. Man, it was just outstanding, and I got a little bit. Well, first of all, let me backtrack for a second. The best thing that I saw in relation to that game was something that I actually did not see until today. Okay, and I'm gonna give y'all a little bit of personal information about me. I don't have any kids. And I grew up without a father. So to see that video today tweeted out by someone else and then SportsCenter picked it up and tweeted it out, you can go to my Twitter page, at Jordan23ATL, if you want to see the video. But someone recorded Mr. Ray Young, calling out to Trey immediately after he hit that game-winning shot. And he called Trey's name a few times, and Trey turned around and acknowledged it with a smile on his face. And he told Trey, that's what we do, son. That's what we do. And you can see him just clap his hands and pump his fist. And, man, just to see the pride on a dad's face, you know, after seeing his son, you know, come up big in a huge moment like that, man, it just warmed my heart. It's one of the best things I've seen, you know, in quite some time, man. Just a great family. You know, what a great guy, what a great player Trey is. And so that's my biggest takeaway. Another takeaway I had was just how tremendous Trey played in his first playoff game. 32 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds in his first playoff game. The only player to do that in his playoff debut besides LeBron James. And so, he just continues to put his name among the greats as he goes along, man, whether people want to recognize it or not. I could go all day. I'm going to let you talk, but I'm going to go ahead and mention one more off the top here, and that's Mr. Lou Williams. Thank you, Lou Williams, Atlanta Natives, because he really saved us in that game. We had gotten a little lull in that game, and we went down 7 points. The Knicks actually took a 3-pointer. They attempted to go up 10 in that game, and they missed it. And Lou went on to score 7 straight points to end the third quarter and scored the first 4 points of the fourth quarter. Huge performance by Lou. And also Lou was the one that gave Trey some advice just prior to that last shot. And he told him, go win the basketball game. You know, do not pass this ball unless you have to. Go win the basketball game. You're the franchise player. It's on your shoulders. And I really think Luke helped, you know, inspire some confidence in Trey, even though he has supreme confidence anyway, and just added, you know, some fuel to his fire in the moment. And so, you know, those were 3 of the big takeaways I have, but there's certainly many, many more.
Appreciate that. 646-652-4479, definitely in regards to the Young family being here in Atlanta and ingrained into the community. And then getting to see, you know, Rafer getting to see his son do that. You know, we know Trey has played big time in New York, but this was a playoff. It is different. So we definitely can appreciate that. Just some points of interest for me overall you mentioned the biggest ones. Well, one, Hunter playing. And even though he played 22 minutes, the minutes restriction, he did his job. He didn't take a lot of shots. He hit that huge 3-pointer, though. He did hit that shot. But he only took 6 shots the whole game, right? And he played primarily Julius, and then at some point he was playing Burks, too. Okay, he only scored 5 points. But his play for 22 minutes meant something. Everybody who played considerable minutes made a difference in the game. Lou and Tony only played 12 minutes. Of course, like you mentioned, you know, Lou had 13 points. Tony had his 3. That's a real 3, but he also had 3 rebounds and assists and a steal. You know, Red Mamba had 8 points, but he also had 4 boards, an assist and a steal, and 2 blocks. You know, Gallo had an off-night shooting, you know, but he did score 8 points, so, you know, he did contribute. And that was your bench for the night. Now, for the most part, our starters, you know, did their jobs as well. You know, John had his 12-7. He had 2 blocks as well and a steal. Clint had 9 points, but he had 13 rebounds, 4 of them offensive. He had 2 blocks as well. I mean, the team played tremendous defense. And then, of course, you got Bogey, had 18 points. He wasn't hitting at first, but then when he started hitting, he hit. He was 4 of 9 from 3, so that's 44% right there. He had 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals as well. And, of course, like you said, Trey had his 32-10 assist night. He also had 7 rebounds. 2 of those were offensive himself. You know, so the whole team really contributed in a big-time way. And, again, do we think that some of our players that maybe not had the greatest shooting nights initially are going to do that back-to-back? Probably not. Do you really think the New York Knicks is going to get 27 points out of Burks again? Probably not. They had to play 37 minutes for Rose. They had to do it. They had no choice. It was crazy. It was, I've never seen anybody get pulled that quick before in the first quarter of a game. So, you know, they have a lot of things to think about. But, again, Julius was, you know, they had a game plan for Julius. We just knew that after a week, you know, Nate was going to have a game plan for Julius. He wasn't going to just run roughshod against us again. And I feel that's how it's going to be the rest of the series. And, you know, if we have to sacrifice Hunter scoring for the defensive end and we win, guess what? That's what we need to do. If that's the formula, I'm all for it. So definitely excited on that end as far as the Hawks go in regards to New York. I think the other part of it is the pressure part of it. You know, a lot of people were concerned because of the age of the team overall and things of that nature that the pressure would overwhelm them. I didn't really see that. I saw them hit all the big shots that were required. Again, Lou helped us out with that lull. You know, and that's one reason it's going to be so hard to beat the Hawks, because even if we have a lull, we can get out of that lull because we got just too many people. I mean, everybody has to almost hope that all of our players miss shots. And I just don't think that's going to be plausible over no long period of time for the Hawks to not be able to come back from any deficit. And they proved that Sunday night. And that's why I think I'm so excited about just going forward, because, again, I just don't think a lot of teams will just be able to flat out beat the Hawks unless the Hawks beat themselves. Also, guess what? We didn't have any turnovers barely. We had, what, six the whole night? Two, three, four, five, six. So, yeah, so those are some things, a point of interest for me from Sunday's game. Anything else, Jordan? Let me see if anybody is calling in yet.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. You still there?
Yes, sir, absolutely. First of all, I do want to give out the number. The number to call the show is 646-652-4479. If anybody want to call the show and give your thoughts, we'd love to hear from all you guys out there. Know it's a lot of excitement what's going on with the Hawks. And I do agree with everything you just said. I also add that I thought that the seven block shots were key. I want to give a shout-out to John Collins, who had another two-block game. All 12 of his points came in the first half of the ball game, but I thought he was one of the main guys that set the tone early and gave us that a big part of us getting that first quarter lead and getting the Knicks off balance all game and just showing them that the Hawks were here to play and they weren't going to back down from the Knicks. Another point I want to make was you mentioned DeAndre Hunter, and he played great defense, and that's absolutely true. And you have to credit to Nate McMillan and Mo, shout out to Mo who's called the show before. She mentioned this, how it was very great strategy for Nate McMillan to late in that game switch DeAndre Hunter onto Alex Burks, as you mentioned, because he missed his last couple shots when DeAndre Hunter guarded him, and he was hot all night long. Also, of the 5 points that DeAndre Hunter scored, his three-pointer with 2 minutes and 59 seconds to go was huge. It gave the Hawks a 97-93 lead. And then also that was just after Bogey had just nailed a three that gave the Hawks a one-point lead, 94-93-point lead. So I thought those were two huge shots. Another huge shot I thought was the one with 55 seconds left where the Knicks almost stole the ball. Bogey was able to reach out and grab the ball, kind of just turned and took a fall-away three and made it to tie the game at 103, left with 55 seconds to go, all of which went in the trade, making a couple free throws and then hitting the game-winning shot, of course, with 0.9 seconds left. All huge plays in that ball game. And also, and you mentioned it, but, man, the look on Spike Lee's face, even though he had a mask on, just to look in his eyes, his expressions, the way he had his hands on his hips was priceless, man. And, you know, while he's looking like that, Trey is talking about how quiet it is in the building all of a sudden, you know, doing the shush symbol and saying it's real quiet up in here. But, man, it was just a surreal scene and, you know, a great moment. And, of course, you know, New York is trying to make Trey the villain, even to the point where the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, is going to come out and make a statement about Trey hunting for fouls, even though the Hawks only had one free throw attempt in the first half and three free throw attempts through three quarters. But it seems like Trey is embracing that role of the villain when it comes to the Knicks fans. And, you know, he's talking his talk, and rightfully so. He deserves it. You know, they started with him. They came out chanting some, you know, vulgarities at him to start the game. And so, you know, once he won the game, he let them hear about it, man. And I'm all for it. I love it. I just think it was a monumental moment in Atlanta Hawks history. But I just think it's only the beginning, you know what I mean, of what we're going to see. And we're going to see more monumental moments in this series and this postseason and many more going forward throughout the years when it comes to Trae Young and the Hawks.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was putting on Twitter is that this is just one of many playoff victories that we're going to get to see this season. And, you know, with the mayor coming out and all these folks, you know, on radio and television just saying all kind of still crazy things. And it's all is a root of the trade of him and Luka. And that's, they're always going to be tied together. But it's just, you know, now that Trae is in the playoffs, it's like some of these people need to really change their narrative and change it quick because, again, context counts. And you can't keep giving excuses and trying to legitimize not watching games at all and not knowing who's on teams and not knowing the success that the team has had since March 1st. I mean, having the best record in the Eastern Conference since March 1st means something. Winning 11 games in a row at home means something. Winning the division means something. You know, having the third best record in the NBA since March 1st means something. Winning your games in the fourth quarter. What happened in the fourth quarter of this playoff game? We won. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff is a big deal. And when you compare it to some of these other teams out here, it's like the Hawks are far and above some of these. Even Charles Barkley with his wishy-washy self had to finally come out and be like, man, the Hawks have better players. You know, I don't know what I'm going to decide eventually, but the Hawks have better players, you know, and it's like, now you know. But it's exciting on the basis also because it is a playoff game. And we've seen over the years us having competitive teams but not really being able to extend but so far, mostly because you didn't have that key player or two who could take over a game and actually can go and win you the game, you know. And I go back and forth again. Al Horford, boss and everything, but he only gave us that 13-7 when he should have been given 24-12. We got killed by Cleveland because we couldn't stop Tristan Thompson, not LeBron, you know. And then we got swept again the next year, but that's another story. But, you know, at this point, we have players, plural, that can go out and hit big shots. Like you mentioned, you know, Bogey grabbing that ball and then just turning around and just shooting it. Like, and you knew he was going to do it, and you pretty much knew he was going to hit it. Like, every time Bogey shoots the ball, it's supposed to go in. Like, if it goes to go in, there must be something wrong with the basketball, right? You know? So it's an expectation of success that we now have as Hawks fans, and that's why we can be excited. And we should be overly excited. Now, I'm not saying throw a parade every time we win a game or anything like that, but we can jump up and down like we all did and everything, but now next game. But the reason I mention that is because, again, a few weeks ago or a month ago, when the Knicks, the first time, got into fourth place, they were outside jumping up and down, hooting and hollering like they had won a championship, like they had clinched the division or something like that, when all it was they were in fourth. And we ended up overtaking them, of course. And then at the very end of the season, they ended up getting it. But it's just the principle of how far do you go with your what's the word? Not excitement. Everybody should be excited because it is the playoffs, but it should be a little bit tempered just because. And I told Bob on Thursday around the ATL, I was like, well, if it's a matter of winning in the playoffs, the Knicks haven't even been in the playoffs. At least the Hawks have been in the playoffs to not win that much in the playoffs, but we still had a chance. The Knicks haven't even been in the playoffs at all, and some of that time they had Prime Melo, so what was their excuse? But how are they so hyped when they haven't been in the playoffs at all? And like you said, just seeing Spike Lee and Tracy Morgan and John Stewart and all the other celebs just looking just downtrodden, just like they really thought they were going to win the game, right? So that was like one of the best moments. And, again, we'll be able to watch and see that and hear it. If you go to Steve Holman's Twitter page, he has the audio of his call. So everybody go to Twitter and hit up Steve Holman and listen to the call. People have been asking him about it. He has it posted. So if you didn't get to hear him call that, and I tweeted him back because in the audio, he kind of chuckled when Taj Gibson basically tackled him. So So you got to listen to that part before he does the trade call. So you got to listen to that. 646-652-4479. DJ in the Atlanta, New Pack City group is online, as well as AJ Jones. What's going on? Let's see if we got any calls. Let's see. Caller, all the callers. Okay, no callers yet. All right, so we got about 30 minutes left to continue to talk calls. Now, Jordan, if you don't have anything else from Sunday, what's your anticipation for tomorrow, unless you got something else?
Well, I could go into both of those because they kind of tie in. But you kind of mentioned it, but I want to give Coach McMillan credit for the game plan he put together against Julius Randle. As you say, he started DeAndre Hunter on Julius Randle to harass him all night long. But also, if you notice, every time you saw where it looked like Randle was trying to drive hard to the basket, you saw Hawks players sliding their foot into the lane to get ready to cut him off. You know, this forced him to pass up a lot of shots or just take a bad shot. And there's a reason why, you know, he only made 23 shots? 6 of 21 or 6 of 23, I have to look at the exact number here. But I thought it was just a masterful game plan. He used different defenders on him. He used different looks on him. But I tell you what, once DeAndre Hunter was switched on to Alec Burke late in that game, I thought, and even the other times he was on him, I thought John Collins did a fantastic job on Julius Randle. A lot of people knocked John Collins for his defense, and some of that's warranted, you know, over time. But you can see he's been improving, and he's making a concerted effort to block more shots, including one of his two blocks came against Julius Randle as well. Well, at least one of them did. So I thought that was just tremendous. Going into game two, I think we can play much better. We only shot about 35% from three in that game, and it was much worse than that early in the game before Bogey kind of got on. We know Gallo is a much more capable shooter than he showed us in that game. We also know
Won't go 1 for 7 again.
No. And, you know, and we also know that even Kevin Huerter had missed some open shots in that game. And so even though the game was more of a lower-scoring game, which kind of favors the Knicks, 107-105 victory, if the Hawks would have just made their normal percentage of open looks, they would have scored 120-something in that particular ball game. You know what I mean? So I thought it was great. I think we need to shoot the ball much better. Next game, I think we need to continue to do what we did on Julius Randle and, you know, see how they adjust before we make any adjustments there. The main thing that I would focus on defensively would be to play more up on Alec Burks and Emmanuel Quickley. Both of those guys, they made shots, and they're the type of guys that they want to take jump shots. So you need to crowd those guys and make those guys, you know, drive the basketball. Alec Burks, as you said, 27 points, 9 for 13, 3 out of 5. And I give Burks credit. He has been playing very well down the stretch of this series for them. Has been one of their four-quarter guys, but we can't let him have 27 points again, and I don't think he will. Emmanuel Quickley had 10 points, 4-7 from the field, made both of his three-pointers, including one of them that was pretty deep. But we just need to play up on him and make him a driver. On the other hand, we need to continue to allow R.J. Barrett to take his outside shots, 1-6 from three-point range, 6-15 from the field. I think we played him very well. But the one guy who I thought we allowed to get a little bit too much easy was Derrick Rose. Some of those drives he went in there was a little bit too uncontested for me. So we need to make sure we cut him off, get in front of him, put a body on him, and just continue to try to wear him down because he's playing a whole lot of minutes for an older player that's had, you know, a lot of knee issues. So, yes, sir, with that being said, you know, those are my keys for game two. But let me just say this, because you mentioned celebrities and whatnot. I saw several celebrities tweet out from New York, tweet out stuff this morning. Good morning to everybody out there, except Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks fans. I even saw a bookstore. I want to say it was Barnes & Noble, one of the bookstores based in New York. I had to look back through my Twitter, at Jordan23ATL, to give you the exact company. But we saw one of them tweet something similar. Is, you know, good morning to everyone but Trae Young. So, you know, it's quite funny. The you know, the reaction is getting around the nation. But I tell you what, though, old Mayor de Blasio, he's doing things very dangerously for his team, sir, because we talked about on the show time and time again how Trey uses this hate and stuff to fuel his fire. So, you know, the man de Blasio is pouring gasoline on the Hawks' fire. Now you have New York Knicks fans talking about, I saw this tweet today as well, about wearing bird costumes to the game because Trey has a phobia of birds, not realizing that our mascot is a bird. We play a bird sound after we score at home, and they tried this in college. Oklahoma State was the first team to try it. Trey Young scored 48 points in that game, sir. So, you know, it's going to be very epic. Exactly. If they show up in bird costumes, a couple thousand people show up in bird costumes and watch the Hawks take game two, it's going to go down in the history of basketball, sir. And all the pressure is on New York because the Hawks are playing with house money now. So they can come out and play free. And I'm telling you, if they take game two, it is a rental wrap for New York, sir. It's over if that happens.
646-652-4479 is the number. All those, all of that is correct. I can't argue any of that. I hope they come in bird costumes because I really don't want to hear, you know, the Sesame Street coming on or, you know, it's just going to get sued at a certain point. But, again, the pressure is on them. They had home court. We have home court now. But if they go down 2-0, I had to say a five-game series, but at this point, I want to sweep. I want to sweep for all the foolery and the craziness people are saying and the mayor getting involved, which is just right to get involved, but come with it with a little bit of smartness because he was saying some crazy stuff, as you mentioned, the free throws. It was 6-for-23 for Julius Randle in your previous comment. The one thing about the Hawks shooting, they did shoot 46% from the field Sunday. It was just from three that they didn't shoot that great. But they did shoot almost 50% from the field, so they had it going on there. One other thing, too, Rose played 37 minutes that night. And I just don't think that's sustainable that they can expect him to play 37 minutes a night for them to get four victories and him score 17 to 20 points a game. Burks is a 14-a-point average guy who got 27. Can they expect him to drop 27 a night every night per their starting lineup that doesn't really score a lot of points? I don't know. Quickly had 10, but it was a good 10. It was, you know, he hit his threes and stuff. But, you know, if he just does that, that's not that big a deal. It's like you said, Burks and 27 out, because that's 27-10. That's 37 points off the bench. Rose technically was a starter that night because they pulled Payton, you know, Alfred Payton, as Dominique says. The starting line for the Knicks, other than that, Bullock had 6. Noel had 6. Right, and Barrett had 14. Now, Barrett had a decent game, except for those three-pointers that he missed. But can the Knicks expect for R.J. Barrett to really produce every night? Because they basically need that whole starting lineup to do something, and we know that they can't because they haven't all season. So that's why I say if we shoot a little bit better on our threes, the Knicks are in trouble just by default because, again, all their pressure is they have to keep up with us. We did what we needed to do with Julius, and now unexpected contribution from Burks, you know, but without that, I mean, we would beat them by 10 points or more easily. It wouldn't have really even been close. So that's what I'm excited to see, you know. Yeah, like you said, how are they going to adjust to the adjustment of Julius? Because they know that we're going to be playing them a certain way at this point. And can they overcome it? Because if not, again, John Collins only scored 12. You know we could score more than that. You know, even Clint. You know, Clint only shot 7 times that night. Like, a lot of the guys, again, some of this is the playoffs, right? And you feed and phantom, as Diamond also likes to say, you know, with Bogey and stuff like that. But, again, Gallo's not going to go 1-for-7 from the field again. You know, Kevin, he went 3-for-7, but he missed, you know, 3 three-pointers. You know, he's probably going to hit at least 1 or 2 more. You know, Tony Snell, will he get a couple more shots than the 3 that he had? We'll see. If Lou Williams is comparatively the same pretty much this whole series, I mean, I don't see how the Knicks can do it. I've been saying that from the start, whether or not we have home court or not. And now even more so, I say we can win this series. But we won't look too far ahead. But, you know, of course, we have to be excited because we know what our team can do because we've been watching all the games, which, again, don't know why the media, the people who get paid to do it, can't take the time and look at the highlights of each game because they're published on NBA.com, Google, whatever, along with the stats. And I don't understand how a lot of these guys don't know what they're talking about and they just make up stuff that's supposed to be cool. I've never understood that. Again, Bob said it's a disservice to fans of any team when, you know, people in the media, especially if they're on TV, and they're just spouting off stuff that's just not true. The narratives just don't fit. And I've always been upset about that. That's why I started around the ATL 3 years ago. So I'm excited. I just think as Atlanta fans, we need to continue to press in regards to our fandom and keep going back and forth with these guys because this is our time to really show that we do have true fans in Atlanta at this point. 646-652-4479, Lakers right now have a 10-point lead on Phoenix Suns, actually. That's surprising a little bit. Brooklyn destroyed Boston. I know Tatum went out the game. He didn't come back in the game. So right now it ain't looking good for Boston. I just don't see at this point how they can get back in that series, even though they are going back home for two. But it ain't looking good for them at all. And a little bit later, the Clippers and Dallas plays again. Jordan, any other thoughts on Hawks and Knicks, sir?
Well, it's just the narrative is, you know, and the excuse is, and, you know, the Knicks fans, you know, including the ones in the media, don't really want to give the Hawks credit for their defense on Julius Randle. So the narrative is, you know, well, Julius Randle's not going to shoot 60-23 again and not going to only score 15 points again, and that could be true. But what people don't understand, you know, like you said, Gallinari's not going to go 3-for-11 and 1-for-7 from three-pointer again, from three again more than likely. And even though he played very well, we could very well tailor the game plan next game and establish John Collins more because I don't think you're going to see him score 12 points again either. You know what I mean? So, you know, we can get him certainly more than 9 shots. And also, as far as DeAndre Hunter goes, at some point his shot is going to come back as he continues to get his legs up from up under him and we're able to play him more minutes. And so all that's just adding up to, you know, an explosive recipe, sir. And, you know, New York is in trouble, man. Like you said, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but I say talk your talk, Hawks fans, because they've been clowning us and downing us for years. Even when we made the playoffs 10 years in a row, they clowned us because we didn't have a superstar. Well, certainly we got a superstar now and a whole bunch of other star-caliber players and players with star potential. So I say talk your talk, Hawks fans. It will be rewarded in this series.
Just a real quick update. Braves win 3-1 against the Boston Red Sox, who've been playing very well out there in the American League. So just wanted to drop a dime on that. This is around the ATL. You didn't think we were going to miss that. And also, of course, since I mentioned that, and we haven't had a chance to do it yet, we will be having some at the Dream segments pretty soon. But the Dream won tonight as well against the Sky, 90-83. So very excited about that as well. One note I do want to say about Hunter. Now, in that particular game on Sunday, I don't think it – because, again, Hunter has been playing the last few games of the regular season. He actually started the last game. He had great game shooting. Sunday, I don't think it was a matter of him not having legs necessarily. He just didn't take a lot of shots because he was concentrating on defense. You know, he just missed shots. I don't think it was him being tired.
But he's still on a minute restriction.
Yeah, that's, but I don't think he's going to be on a minute restriction anymore because today they said, he's fine. Like, he's like, ready to go.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't know if he'll be on a minute restriction again, but, like, he's, like, healthy. He done said it now. So I'm like, let's unleash the beast and let him go ahead and play his 34-plus minutes, too. And, like, again, I want blood, you know. I want this game. I want to see a 15-20-point loss somehow. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I want to run them into the ground. I don't want the mayor to be able to say nothing. I don't want, you know, SNL to be able to do a skit about the whole. I want a 20-point, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm looking for. I don't want to hear a Jay-Z lyric about this. I don't want to hear no foolery. And when the Hawks come back to Atlanta, I was saying, you know, We need to be playing, you know, Welcome to Atlanta. We need to play that. We need to play everything Outkast. We need to really Atlanta this up, because this has been a long time coming. And is this one of those feel-good, you know, happenings right now in the city, especially with all the other sports all clumped up together right now? This is like the best time of the year right now. And I think we just, again, as a city, need to be really pumped up and hyped up about everything, even though in the NFL we have all kind of other storylines going into things. 646-652-4469. We're going to take a little bit of a break. I only do an hour show today because I think it's heat exhaustion. I was outside a little bit longer than I probably should have been. But I wanted to get a show in just for the first week. Yeah, but I was Sunday was so exciting. You know, I was walking out, running around outside, screaming, so, you know, waking up everybody. I did a lot of doing it too. You know, so. But
I screamed so loud. I hollered so loud when Trey hit that game winner. I know everybody in the vicinity heard me.
Exactly. Well, I was screaming from the bogey three, of course, too, you know, to tie the game. And then, of course, when
Trey hit
the game, you know, that was another one. But we'll be right back. We're going to take just a quick break. Come back, talk some more Hawks, talk some more Atlanta sports. Go anywhere, y'all.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta sports talk.
And we are back. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. This is episode 102, by the way, everybody. 646-652-4479. We've been talking the Atlanta Hawks versus New York Knicks in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Of course, Atlanta beat the Knicks Sunday, 107-105. Game two is tomorrow night in New York. A lot of back and forth in between all the fans in New York and all the fans in Atlanta. Has been fun to watch. And, however, we do have a little tidbit that I do kind of at least want to raise up just a little bit. Shannon Sharp decided to, you know, make a phone call, dial a number. It wasn't a random number. It was a number of Julio Jones. And in that conversation that ensued, Julio made a statement that at the end of the day, there might be somebody, some who has speculations, some thoughts, but it wasn't nothing, you know, nothing in, you know, we didn't know. And then we've come out after the fact that, okay, well, he did ask, but that was all private, as Coach Arthur has stringently said again and again that that's how they like to do it. But in this case, private became public. And so right now, there's a, I don't want to call it a mass scramble, but at this point, because of, you know, just how things work in regards to the value of a trade, you know, what's going to happen, not sure. But this comes in a real inopportune time because this is his first year coaching, Coach Arthur is. And you know, you got these new guys coming in, and you have the receiving core that most of them probably thought they were going to have a shot to play with one of the greatest receivers of all time. And now all of a sudden, that ain't probably going to happen. So I'm wondering where some of those guys are. I know Ridley is going to be cool, but, I mean, just thinking about the younger guys, you know, more so than anything. But then just how the dynamic of the team is going to change depending on, you know, are we trading Julio for picks? Are we trading him for a player? You know, that's going to contribute. You know, what's going to happen? So just initially, Jordan, just real quick, we got about 10 minutes left. Say what you want in regards to this whole situation.
Well, a couple of things that I thought were interesting by Coach Smith, and I just love Coach Arthur Smith's demeanor. He just seems like a no-nonsense football guy, doesn't have a whole bunch of slogans like old Sergeant Slogan Dan Quinn. And one of the most interesting things I thought he said was, look, if you don't want to deal with problems, don't go into leadership. I thought that was
hold on, Jordan. What did you say? That sounds like something from, you know, that should have applied to somebody in the NBA. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he said that if you don't want to deal with problems, then you shouldn't go into leadership. And I thought that was a powerful statement. And also, he made mention that the team does have multiple ways to get under the salary cap. So I thought that was very interesting. In particular, to keep teams from holding leverage against them when it comes to a potential Julio Jones trade. As it comes to Julio Jones and the Shannon Sharpe situation, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not buying that he did not know that he was on the air. I believe that they had talked about this beforehand. I think it was a staged publicity stunt to try to force the Falcons' hands, and he was tired of being quiet about it. He wanted to make it public. I just don't believe that he couldn't hear Skip Bayless and the other co-hosts laughing in the background. And matter of fact, he knows what time that show comes on every day. I just don't believe that Shannon Sharp, who has a relationship with Julio Jones and a lot of other NFL players, would put Julio out there like that without his permission. So I think that thing was staged. I think Jones knew he was being put on air or whatever. Obviously, Jones has been a great player. He had his worst season in a long time last year, probably ever, because he missed 9 games. But, you know, my simple thing is if he doesn't want to be here, then he can go. Because I want guys to want to be here. I did want him to stay because and the main reason was to mentor Kyle Pitts, because I think there is a lot that Kyle Pitts can learn from him. There's also a lot he can learn about route running, in particular from Calvin Ridley, who was a superb route runner. And so it's just disappointing, man, that Julio doesn't want to be a part of this, that he doesn't want to give Coach Smith a chance, that he doesn't want to see if Dean Pease and his blitzing style can help us to be a defense that at least creates a lot of turnovers and to see if we can recreate some of this 2016 magic running more of a play-action balanced offense. It's just disappointing, man. But, you know, if he doesn't want to be here, he can kick rocks, sir. He can kick rocks with open-toe shoes on, with turf toe, on the foot with the titanium screw in it, ultimately. Because, you know, I'm seeing a whole lot, and I know that's harsh, but I'm seeing people begging him to stay and people blaming the Atlanta Falcons and this and that. But you can't blame anybody on the Falcons. You got to blame the people that ain't here no more, like Thomas Dimitroff. Maybe you can put a little blame on Mr. Blank, even though that's my guy, just for sticking with Dimitroff and Quinn too long. But ultimately, you know, I see people talk about they hope Julio goes somewhere and wins a ring next year. Well, if you're rooting for Julio Jones to win a ring next year, then you're not rooting for the Falcons to win a ring next year. You know, and I'm tired of people just automatically saying we're not going to be good next year before you see what these new coaches can do. Nate McMillan is showing you how big of a difference coaching can make. We lost 8 games by 1 score or less last year, so we're not that far away. So that's where I'm at with that situation, sir.
646-652-4479. And that was for the turf toe right there. So here's my take on everything in regards to this situation. I was also in the opinion that more than likely, and even if he forgot for a second, I mean, the show has been on for 5 years. You know about the time frame, you know, and I don't know exactly where Julio was. Maybe the time zone thing could have came into play. Maybe, you know. He knows who it was because of caller ID. Now, it's possible that he couldn't recognize who Skip was, Skip's voice in the background and stuff, because it's a cell phone, all that kind of good stuff there. The biggest thing is, and this would have alleviated a lot of stuff, that even if it was staged protocol-wise, you gotta be like, hey, Julio, this is Unk. You relied on the air on Undisputed. If he did that at the very beginning, whatever happened after the fact, then that's, of course, directly on Julio if he didn't want to have things known out there in public. But if it is a publicity stuff, it wouldn't matter, but that at least would have alleviated Fox from being out of any legalities and things of that nature for putting somebody on the phone that didn't know they were being recorded. Because that's just like one of those basic things. You got to let people know what all the people who are trying to get us to do warranties, right? This call is being recorded, right? So at least if he had did that, that would at least been something. But on the other hand, if Julio didn't know that that was going on, then Shannon, that's bad biz. You see what I'm saying? So just on the boat, I
real bad.
The size of it as far as that goes, you know, because at the end of the day, that was something that was properly talked about. That was something that supposedly he asked for a trade for. Again, not sure why, but whatever. And the Falcons have him on the contract, so they're not in a hurry to just get rid of him just for the sake of getting rid of him. You know what I'm saying? If he chooses to want to sit, that's on him. But, again, why wouldn't he want to go into this new year with a new staff, all these new players, fixing some of these holes that we had? Like you said, we lost 8 games by a touchdown or less, you know, and not covering the ball on that one special teams play or – you know, there's all kind of stupid stuff, coaching decisions, all kind of stuff. So it's like, if you're talking about winning, I mean, I know somebody who won 13 games 2 years in a row, and they didn't go to the Super Bowl. Aaron did not, right? So, again, nothing is guaranteed, but it's like this duo has one of the best streaks in football in regards to quarterback to receiver. Why wouldn't you want to continue that? And instead of going to like possible unknown quantities, because guess what? Falcons could trade him to doggone it, I don't know, the Jets, for instance. Then where would he be? He wouldn't be able to get out of it. He has a 3-year contract, right? So, you know, don't like put yourself in a terrible position just because you think you can go somewhere better, you know, because that's not always possible. And then again, things ain't guaranteed. Heck, he still might not play 16 games next year anyway. So I don't know. It's just, I don't like how it's ending, but by the principle, however, it is about the team, not the player, you know, and we have Ridley, we have Pitts, we have Gage, we have Hurst, we have running backs now, we have better offensive line. We have what we think are going to be better players on paper. We just have to see the execution, the accountability, which I've seen some highlights already of, you know, coach shouting and cussing at people already. I like to see that because the other guy, hey, everybody, let's just have a good time, you know, fast and furious, you know, but anyway, and then couldn't make no adjustments when it mattered, you know. So I wanted to see what could really happen in the threat of having Julio and Ridley on the field at the same time, or at least most of the time, because, you know, sometimes he doesn't play all the downs. But anyway, that's my thought. sorry. But it is where we are. I mean, it was disappointing from Sunday to go into Monday with that news after the high of the Hawks victory, and then this.
There you go.
It was just the principle of it all. It was like we just did not need that as Atlanta sports fans overall. It was one of the reasons I didn't do a show yesterday. You know, so it's like I want to try to kind of get through that with a bit of a tide and then kind of see how things are going to play out. So maybe Julio changes mind. I don't know, you know. But I guess we'll see what happens within the next couple of days, because the next couple of days something has to go down, I guess.
Well, Chris, you went exactly where I was about to go by mentioning the fact that this came the day after the Hawks put up that big playoff victory and Trae Young hit the game-winning shot. And you had the whole city buzzing around the Atlanta Hawks. And this guy just had to come and do it, and this thing had to happen on First Take and put the attention on him and off of the Hawks. You know, and all the talk radio shows and everything seemed to be talking more about, you know, Julio than they were about the Hawks. And so that was the thing that made one of the things that made me the most upset about the situation. It's like, because, you know, obviously, and we won't know because it's speculation. Obviously, I believe it was staged. So me believing it was staged, I'm like, if you're going to do this, why did you have to do this today? Why couldn't you just let this man have, you know, and these Hawks have their day? And, of course, Rodgers came out later on, and he did an interview on SportsCenter. It was Kenny Mayne's last show. And he talked about how he didn't have a problem with the coaching staff or with Jordan Love, the quarterback who was drafted, and his problems with the general manager. But I said, here comes this diva trying to steal the spotlight from Julio. And so on one aspect, even though I didn't like his comments at all, I got to thank Mayor Bill de Blasio because he turned the national conversation back to the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young with him coming out and saying what he said. And I saw where Mayor Lance Bottoms came out and said that Trae is not hunting for fouls. He's hunting for wins. We've got to win. You know, what do you have? You know what I mean? So I thought that was an interesting response as well, sir.
646-652-4479. Don't mess with Keisha now. She's in the sports now. You do know that, of course, of our Saints history and everything, too. So that being said, if I need to go ahead and wrap the show up, we only got a couple of minutes left. What do you predict for tomorrow, and then how can people find you on the Internet?
Real quick, I do want to shout out the Atlanta Dream who won the game today. They beat the Chicago Sky 93-83. Tiffany Hayes scored 26 points. Courtney Williams added 18. As far as the Hawks and Knicks go, man, I really don't know what to expect because I know the Knicks are going to give us their best punch. But I'm thinking that the mayor may have just put a big fuel to the fire. I also saw where Lloyd Pierce was on TV, and they were asking him, how do you stop Trae Young? And really, he didn't say anything bad about Trae Young. He really said that's what Trae does, and he's been doing that since he came to the league. But one thing he did say is they try to make Trae more of a scorer and less of a facilitator. And I've heard a couple guys say that lately, but I just don't understand, and they never say how. But how are you supposed to take away Trae's best skill, which is facilitating? So what they're going to mess around and let happen is to let Trae score 40 points, and he's still going to get 7 or 8 assists, and the Hawks are going to mess around and snatch a 2-0 lead. At least that's what I want to happen, sir. I'm on Twitter, at Jordan23ATL, on Bleacher Report, at Jordan15ATLGA. Appreciate everybody listening to us live and everybody who will listen to us on podcast form. Appreciate all our listeners, no matter how they come. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta and these Georgia sports that I love.
Hawks are going to win by 10 tomorrow night at least. It's going to be a fun game again. We're going to go up 2-0 and come back to Atlanta to take a 3-0 lead in the series. And everybody on TNT is going to start crying. Make sure you follow Around the ATL on all these platforms I'm about to mention. You can always listen to past episodes on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Spotify. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram under IMTM Worldwide Radio. You can also follow me on Twitter, IMTM1. Make sure you follow my personal Instagram page, IMTM1, as well. And that's going to do it for tonight. Can't wait till tomorrow. Again, make sure you share Around the ATL with everybody. We're starting to pick it back up. Pandemic is kind of slowly winding down, so we're excited with the upcoming seasons as far as sports go, the Green, the Bulls, the Falcons, and, of course, the Hawks, who are currently in the playoffs trying to get to that championship. Till next time, y'all, this is Around the ATL. Y'all take care now. Peace.
Shout out to the Panda. 3 hits tonight.
I need a panda sound.